I am reading Romans 5, verses 1 through 8, and I chose the New Living Translation, which is going to be different from your Pew Bible, but if you're going to follow along, just let you know that the words are going to be a little different. Hear God's Word. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus has brought into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. We can rejoice, too, when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. For this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us, because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. When we were utterly helpless, Christ came at just the right time and died for us sinners. Now, most people would not be willing to die for an upright person, though someone might perhaps be willing to die for a person who is especially good. But God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. Here ends the reading of the Lord. Somewhere here is my coffee. Martin Luther was the man credited with beginning the Reformation in 1517. He was raised in a very strict household. His teachers were also extremely strict. He became a priest. He joined the priesthood in the hope of finding salvation. But still, no freedom was to be had for young Martin. How could he love God if God was anything like his father or his teachers? This is when his superior assigned him to teach scripture at the University of Wittenberg. Now, Dr. Luther was reading and studying the scriptures to teach them, and he was asked to teach Paul's letter to the Romans. How amazing is God? He knows exactly what we need when we need it. Luther was shown how God is the giver of gifts, of justice, the giver of gift of righteousness and faith. There isn't anything we can do to earn these gifts. We do not need to bring a checkbook. Our money is no good in God's economy. Our behavior and our sins have been forgiven. This is freeing. Now let's move forward 500 years. Guess what? We still expect God to want something in exchange for God's gifts. Over the last 500 years, the story has been the same. Freedom with Christ, freedom in Christ, has been met with frowns by those who like clear-cut do's and don'ts. They are legalists, grace killers. We just cannot embrace a God who loves us. We find it very hard to believe in the God of the Gospels. Wednesday morning after breakfast, Pastor Jeff came into the kitchen and asked if I'd be preaching on death, which is his sermon series. I said, absolutely not. He said, how about Father's Day? You preaching on Father's Day? I was like, no. Yes. How can it not be? I can see a loving, caring Father God, because my dad and my grandfathers were those men. They were fathers who loved me. I know this isn't the case for a lot of people. A lot of people are modern day Martin Luthers. They have a hard time believing that God can love them when earthly people who are right here can't love them. But God does love you. So, back to Romans. We have rules. We have the Ten Commandments, and this is good. The rules are in place for a reason. The rules give us direction. And disobeying those rules is what we call sin. So our text this morning says that Jesus died for us sinners. He did not die for former sinners. He didn't go to the cross for those that have never ever sinned. He died for us while we were still sinning. Jesus paid the price for our sins so that we are justified. We are right in God's sight. A patient asked me what I was going to be preaching on, and I said, grace. And she said, oh, you know what the acronym with grace is? And I'm like, of course not. Please share it with me. Get your pencil out, Bernice. Okay. Grace. God's riches at Christ's expense. I'll say it again. G-R-A-C-E. God's riches at Christ's expense. We have access to God's gifts, God's riches, because of what Jesus did. He paid the price. So other than a cute acronym, what is grace? Grace is undeserved favor. Grace is love. God is love too. So we're here. Grace that goes up is our worship. It's our time here right now together, loving God from where we are. Grace that goes outward to each and every one of us here, that's affection, respect. But grace, love that stoops down, that's grace. God coming down, Jesus coming down, if King Charles were happened to, you know, stoop down to somebody, that's what's grace. So I've been reading The Grace Awakening by Charles Swindoll. Swindoll refers to yes faces and no faces. Yes face, no face. When our God is small, and our world is very rigid, we tend to have a no face. However, freedom in Christ shows on our face and gives us a yes face. I believe Jesus had a yes face. Mr. and Mrs. Knoll have yes faces. From the minute you walked in this morning, you got two little ones ready and you came in with yes faces. These words from the disciple John, written in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. John testified about him when he shouted to the crowds, "This is the one I was talking about when I said, 'Someone is coming after me who is far greater than I am, for he existed long before me.' From his abundance we have all received one gracious blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ." Through Jesus Christ. It's a top-down gift. We just need to believe. It's interesting to me that Paul wrote this letter to the Romans. If you know Paul's story, before Paul became an apostle, Paul was Saul. And he was a Pharisee, and it was his sole purpose, his mission, was to find all the followers of Christ and put them to death. He was a rule follower. He loved his rules. But they were rules created by the Pharisees, and those rules were more important than God, and they were more important than people. When we read stories stories of Jesus' healing and his teachings, they're about God's love and how we should care for each other. When Saul encountered Jesus, he was not punished. He was lovingly taken care of by followers of Jesus. He received God's grace and his new identity as Paul. If we have been made right in God's sight by our faith, why do we need to do anything else? Aren't we good just as we are? Of course. But don't you want to mature? Are you comfortable being spoon-fed? So maturity, taking it up a level. That's the next thing, but that's risk-taking. But it's freedom. As Christians, we need to have room to grow in our faith. This means moving from being spoon-fed to feeding ourselves. This means opening our Bibles and reading the scriptures. You can find a daily devotional that will send a text or an email to you every day to read. You can listen to a podcast. You can join a Bible study. Ours meets every Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. and it's online. You don't even need to get out of your jammies. I tend to take for granted the privilege we have in the United States to own a Bible or many Bibles. I just got a new one, thank you. We can find religious programming on the television, the radio, the internet, all the time. No wonder there is a belief that the United States is the promised land. But we still have no faces. Where is the joy? Anybody who went to vacation Bible school learned the song, oh, I don't sing. I'm going to sing. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. I always like singing "The Peace That Passes Understanding." Tongue twister and go faster. It's a great song. Can we live that joy? Can our faces show that joy? Let me reread our first two verses from this morning. Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us. Because of our faith, Christ has brought us into this place of undeserved privilege where we now stand, and we confidently and joyfully look forward to sharing God's glory. I made the conscious decision to bring my yes face to work. People notice. They know I'm a chaplain before I open my mouth because they see my yes face. So this summer I'm doing my field ed for my master's at the hospital. And one of the things I'm working on is improving my work within the spiritual disciplines. So I purchased a book, Where All Good Things Start. And I read that we need to immerse ourselves in the Bible, reading and meditating on God's word. I would like to encourage all of us to spend time in the scriptures this summer. Start with the Gospels or one of the letters written to the churches. I'm beginning with Romans. This summer, I'm preaching today, a Sunday in July and a Sunday in August. And surprisingly, Romans is running throughout the summer. So I will again be preaching about Romans. So next month, it's Romans 8. And we'll look at the spiritual discipline of prayer. But first, before we can talk with God, we need to know God's voice, and we learn that in the scripture. So I encourage all of you to spend time getting to know God's voice this summer. Let us pray.